The Sitka man accused of setting fire to a business in Juneau's Auk Bay Harbor Wednesday was arraigned in Juneau District Court yesterday. Judge Keith Levy set James Lee Jesperson's bail at $500,000 cash. Assistant District Attorney Angie Kemp argued that Jesperson poses a danger to the community based partly on a 1991 attempted murder conviction in California for which he served 8 years in prison. Juneau police say Jesperson broke a window and started a fire inside Bricks Electronics shortly before midnight Thursday. Responding officers were able to put out the blaze with a fire extinguisher. A person living in an apartment above the store got out without injury. During the arraignment, Kemp said Jesperson and his girlfriend made threats against Bricks owners and employees prior to the alleged arson. Levy appointed a public defender to represent Jesperson, who said he lives on his boat and is on disability. A preliminary hearing was set for June 8th unless a grand jury returns with an indictment. A federal court judge has rejected motions to dismiss charges against three Fairbanks militia members. U.S. District Court Judge Robert Bryan says prosecutors have presented sufficient evidence allowing the case to move forward. Schaefer Cox, Coleman Barney, and Lonnie Vernon are on trial in Anchorage on charges of conspiracy to possess restricted weapons and conspiracy to murder law enforcement officers. Defense attorney Nelson Traverso argued unsuccessfully Thursday that words uttered by Cox might have been distasteful and provocative, but were not against the law. After Bryan's ruling, Traverso called his first witness. Militia member Les Zerbe testified that the group formed to protect families if the country experienced economic failure and civil government broke down, as happened in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. Representatives from Juneau, Cake, and Goldbelt Incorporated made arguments against Petersburg's borough plan yesterday. It was the second day of the Local Boundary Commission's hearing in Petersburg. The city's witnesses had a chance to respond to borough opponents, and there were lots of comments from the general public as well. In all, around 50 people turned out to speak for or against the borough. Matt Lichtenstein has more from Petersburg.
Goldbelt wants the Boundary Commission to exclude the area of the mainland north of Cape Fanshawe from the proposed borough. That would include Hobart Bay, where the Native Corporation owns 30,000 acres, which it extensively logged in the 1980s. It now supports a substantial second growth of young trees, according to board member Ben Cornell. He described how the corporation had struggled economically and was hoping to use its Hobart Bay lands to build a world-class travel destination.
We want to be good neighbors. In the 80s, 20 years ago, we did logging. We did business over here in Petersburg. We'd like to continue to do business with Petersburg. The last thing I want to do is leave with hard feelings. What we would really like is to leave it unorganized.
Cornell donned a Chilkat blanket when he spoke to the commission. The family heirloom is roughly 200 years old, according to Cornell, who wore it to emphasize the importance of this issue. It's also important to the city and borough of Juneau, which wants to annex the area north of Cape Fanshawe to its southern border at Holcomb Bay. That's roughly half the territory in Petersburg's borough plan. CBJ called on a variety of witnesses who testified, among other issues, about the community's own historic, social, and economic ties to the contested land and water of Stevens Passage. One was Wayne Reglin, a retired deputy commissioner for Alaska Fish and Game and a current president of Territorial Sportsmen in Juneau.
I think it's pretty obvious that the contested area is frequently used by residents of Juneau for hunting and halibut fishing, while it is sparsely used by residents of Petersburg.
Another Juneau witness, commercial fisherman Jeff Shelton, challenged earlier Petersburg testimony that its commercial fishing fleet dominated the area in question.
It's really unclear why a relatively distant area that is frequently frequented by some members of a local fleet should have any influence at all on establishing political boundaries.
Petersburg witnesses had a chance to respond to the variety of issues raised by opponents of the borough. Several, like City Councilor Sue Flint, pointed out how the city benefits not only its own local residents, but those who live in surrounding areas.
There are state and federal facilities that are supported by the city, like the airport, with a police officer meeting every jet, the ferry terminal, the court, the post office, and the highway. These facilities would not be here if there was no city of Petersburg. I feel we are all in this together, and together we will have a stronger voice in the future of our area.
And City Clerk Kathy O'Rear said she couldn't think of any other local issue that has had more public process than the borough.
From February 2006 through October 2010, over 30 public sessions were held on borough formation. These sessions included work sessions with the communities of Wrangell, Cake, and Kuprinoff.
Several leaders from the community of Cake turned out to oppose Petersburg's western borough boundary, which includes roughly half of Kuprinoff Island. Lincoln Bean serves on the tribal council for the organized village of Cake, the community's tribal government.
It was my grandfather's land. I'm going to be a grandfather this fall. That's my grandchildren's land. And the reason, Mr. Chairman, I'm opposing the boundary, no one came to us to talk to us about it.
Bean read from a joint resolution passed by the tribal and city governments of Cake. It said the Petersburg boundary, quote, infringes upon Cake's territory from a historical use perspective established from time immemorial. It called on the state to leave the entire island out of the Petersburg borough. The Boundary Commission listened to public comments and sworn testimony throughout the day and into the evening Thursday. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
And the local Boundary Commission resumes its hearing at 9 o'clock this morning with another opportunity for public comment. That will be followed by closing remarks from the City of Petersburg and the City and Borough of Juneau and three area residents who oppose the Petersburg Borough petition. Well, fall in oil prices has accelerated. Brent is now at $98.34 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate at $82.86 a barrel. Gold is up this morning, about 3.5%, currently trading at $1,618 an ounce. Silver is also higher at $28.75 an ounce. You're listening to Morning Edition on KTOO. The price of oil is headed for the biggest decline since December 2008. U.S. crude has dropped almost 16% based on predictions that world demand will not be as high as previously thought. Despite the slump, North American oil and gas production is expanding. The Energy Policy Research Foundation President Lou Pugliarese cites technology, better policy, and access to federal land as being key components to the domestic expansion. Pugliarese can be seen on KTOO's 360 North television tonight at 8 o'clock. He recently spoke to the Juneau World Affairs Council on the coming renaissance in North American oil.
We should have policies that hold up fairly well under uncertainty. And that is a basic flaw in American energy policy. We think we know what the future looks like, and we don't. And so we end up taking policies which try to reinforce the worst expectations about the future.
Pugliarese said government needs to change its thinking about permitting and the trade-offs between economic value and environmental costs.
If we get appropriate policies in place, we are going to become a dominant energy producer, oil and gas producer, in the Western Hemisphere. I think it's only a matter of 10 to 15 years where the whole Western Hemisphere no longer buys any oil from east of Suez, from the Middle East.
Pugliarese worked for the federal government in the 1970s and 80s with jobs in the National Security Council, Department of State and Energy, and the Department of the Interior. Again, the coming renaissance in North American oil airs at 8 p.m. on 360 North tonight.